Therefore, human beings are very fortunate. They come to remember the contract at a certain stage. We understand why we are here on the earth. We have promised God, we want to build, participate in the building of the temple of the divine on the earth. We have here Matri Mandir, is a very symbolic thing. We all need to build a huge Matri Mandir on the earth. We are here to build a Matri Mandir, as it were, on the earth. Not a simple Matri Mandir, very huge, multi-domed, beautiful. As I said, we are architects and masons. If you go deep in our heart, we shall know what is the architectural design. When you become illumined, you begin to find out what is that architecture that you want to have of the temple. And then you are also a mason, not only an architect. We are at once an architect and a mason. We have many instruments. Our body, life and mind are instruments, instruments of the mason. Now very often, you know, architect may be very much illumined, but masons very often, and the weapons of the mason are very often not responsive. Very often you have the experience, architect goes to the mason and says, do this, and the mason doesn't understand very well, and then makes a catastrophe. Sometimes we are like that. The architect, that is our soul, tells us, look, design in this way. What is the design basically? Very easy design actually. Matter, life and mind are to be so trained that they become happy in carrying out whatever is given to them by the architect. This is all the thing that is to be done. Body, life and mind are to be so trained that they become absolutely transparent, absolutely obedient. This is what we call surrendered. Body, life and mind become so surrendered that whatever the architect says is immediately received and immediately implemented. When we reach the point of desperation, it means that body, life and mind, or at least mind, becomes desperate and says, please enlighten me. I spoke of burning sacrifice. The mind sacrifices and says, please give me the light. Light is received and the mind begins to obey. Then vital begins to obey, then the body begins to obey. But there is a kind of a time lag. Very often you find mind wants to do, but the body doesn't want to do. Very often this is what happens. There is a question also coming up later on. Why is it that there is what we want to do, what we know is right, and yet we can't do what is right? Very often this happens. This is the reason. The mind has become desperate, wants light, it has received the light, it knows what is to be done. But the vital, which is the instrument of doing, the mason, the vital mason, he doesn't care. He is still lethargic. Gradually the vital understands and becomes a great collaborator, like Hanuman. You know, Hanuman is a great vital collaborator of the divine. That is why it is said that vitally you should become like Hanuman. The moment the divine says, it is immediately implemented. There is no refusal at all. Completely surrendered to the divine. Whatever divine wants, the vital is ready. Immediately jumps. Even if it wants to cross the mountains and seas, it does it. That is the power of the vital. But normally, it revolts. How very often you hear from people, oh, don't talk to me about the divine, I don't want to hear. Very often you hear this word, oh, no, not too much of the divine. I don't want to hear about the divine. You all the time talk of spirituality, oh, no, I don't want to hear about spirituality. This is the answer of the vital, basically, very often. It wants to do what it wants to do. It likes all the ordinary joys and sufferings. Even if it has to have pains, it says, doesn't matter, I will have pain. If it has some joy, I will get ultimately, I will have that joy. It's like a brew, you know, which is bitter and sweet at the same time. And it is enjoying that brew. So to take out that brew from its hands and say, look, there is a great unmixed delight, gradually it agrees. The great time of our life is taken up by this battle. We are holding the brew of bitter and sweet wine in our hands. And somebody says that there is a beautiful jar, big jar, full of delight, inextinguishable, inexhaustible. We first of all don't even believe in it, that there is such a thing, or there can be. Gradually the vital being says, all right, I can have it. And once it knows it, like Hanuman, it absolutely gives itself to the divine. It's a great moment. Then comes the turn of the body. Body is normally very difficult. It wants to sleep as much as possible. Even if it wants to wake up, it wants to go to sleep again. It forgets, or it wants to repeat the same thing as old, mechanical. You just see when you are going to sleep, how so many thoughts go on coming, same thoughts. And most of our thoughts are very simple. When shall I eat tomorrow? Very simple thoughts we have got. What dress shall I put on tomorrow? Will butter be ready on the table? Very simple thought, but go on repeating. Even if you answer, it again asks the same question. You answer the same, again you ask the same questions. To make this body aware of the divine consciousness is a very difficult task. But ultimately you can't escape. We have agreed, contract is there. Unless and until this contract is fulfilled, you cannot escape from this. But since it takes a long time, you cannot do all this in one life. If it is a short work to do, you can do all this in one life. But it's a very, very long work. See, in one life it can't be done. So we pass through death. And then we are obliged to be born because the contract is there. The work is not finished. This is how we understand why we must die and we must be reborn. You cannot escape it. Until that work is done, the whole body has to become conscious. There has to be material conquest. Now this is one answer I am giving you. Why we must be born, why we must die. But still it is an incomplete answer. So let me complete the answer. Why could it not be that our life would be so long, so long, so long, that until the whole contract is over, we will not die at all? Why should it not be like that? That also could be. Why this process of death and rebirth? Why at all? This also could be conceived, that if this is the contract, if this is the work to be done, all that everybody have thousands of years of life, it all the time for thousands of years until the work is done. Why is it not so? The reason is that each one of us is partaking of inconscience, each one of us. Since we are working in the mud always comes upon us, isn't it? We are to work in the mud, we are working in the unconsciousness, darkness, therefore darkness is upon us. Because of the darkness, we don't know our own vastness. Actually, each one of us is vast, very vast. As an architect, we are all vast, we have all the visions in our consciousness, deep consciousness. But because we are working in the mud, because we are working in the darkness, We have forgotten that we are vast. And we think ourselves to be limited. If anybody asks you, what are you? Then normally, if you want to give your biographical statement of yourself, curriculum vitae, if somebody says, give us what you are, then normally you say that, well, I was born on this date, my body is like and like this, I have got such and such taste, I have studied such and such things, I want to do this, I want to do that. That is all. It is all our account of ourselves. In other words, in our consciousness we have made a very small formation of ourselves. Now this formation, by its very nature, is brittle. All formations, because they are full of darkness, there is not that vastness, our own formation is brittle, is capable of being broken easily. So because this formation is brittle, there is this principle of dissolution. If you become vast, dissolution will not take place. It all depends upon this. Why must we die? We must die because our formations in which we are living are small. Because of the smallness, they cannot be held up. They don't have the strength to hold up. Therefore, there is a possibility of breaking, dissolution.